From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. And on this day, recent successes at New England's largest horse rescue, including some new caretakers from the women's prison in Windham. And how the government shutdown is impacting some environmental research in New England. That's ahead in just a moment. State regulators this morning opened a formal investigation into whether Central Maine Power overcharged or otherwise inaccurately billed customers in 2017. Fred Bever has details.
An independent audit released late last year found that overall, CMP had not overcharged its customer base. But today, Public Utilities Commission members concluded that substantial questions remain about thousands of bills that may have been inaccurate.
Central Maine Power has made a dismal mess of things in its billing systems and customer care systems of late October, early November 2017.
Commission member Bruce Williamson says CMP botched the rollout of a new billing system and should have delayed it in the aftermath of the October 2017 windstorm that left many in the dark for days.
Even without the storm outages that occurred concurrently, CMP was thoroughly unprepared to launch the project and possibly should not have without several months more of additional in-depth, rigorous testing.
The commission agreed to split further inquiry along two paths, with one focusing purely on bill accuracy. A second inquiry into the adequacy of CMP's customer service systems will be folded into an ongoing case that's considering the company's latest rate request. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
More than 200 call center workers in Wilton will be laid off by the end of March. Wilton Town Manager Rhonda Fleming says Barclay Card, a payment services and credit card company, notified the town this afternoon that it plans to close the call center. The company opened up in town in 2008 and grew to be its largest employer.
Not only our town, but Franklin County. Barclay Cards is one of the largest in Franklin County. I think they are number four in terms of the amount of people that they hire. So they are very important to our entire region.
L.L. Bean dropped Barclay Card as the vendor for its credit card operation last summer. In a press release, Governor Janet Mills says she's directing the Department of Labor to marshal its resources to assist Barclay Card workers and their families, including deploying a rapid response job placement team. The Wilton Select Board will hold an emergency meeting tomorrow night to consider the layoff's effects and coordinate services for town residents. President Trump set to address the nation tonight regarding the government shutdown. Thousands of government employees have been affected, including workers at historic sites, the IRS, and, as New England Public Radio's Nancy Cohen reports, people working on environmental research and conservation.
Close your eyes for a moment and picture a federal employee. Maybe an image of someone behind a computer screen comes to mind, probably in Washington, D.C. But here in Western Mass, federal researchers study ways to protect migrating fish, backyard birds, and urban trees. They work for agencies like the Forest Service and the U.S. Geological Survey. Kurt Griffin heads the UMass Department of Environmental Conservation, where some of the scientists are based.
It's a very, very unfortunate event that our federal colleagues are caught up in this mess. And it's not fair to them. It's not fair to the public that they provide important services to. So it's just a very broken system, and they're caught in the middle.
Only a few miles away in Hadley, work at the Northeast Office of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is also on hold. Federal employees there focus on conservation in 13 states from Maine to Virginia, including rebuilding after Hurricane Sandy and researching white-nose syndrome, a disease that's killed millions of bats.
Due to a lapse in funding of the federal government budget, I am out of the office. I am not authorized to work during this time, but will respond to your message when I return to the office.
That's a recorded greeting from Terry Edwards, Chief of Public Affairs in the Northeast Office. Only those workers deemed essential are at work. The same is true at the Environmental Protection Agency. John Bickerman is an EPA subcontractor who is mediating the bitter dispute over the toxic waste cleanup of the Housatonic River. Although some of his funding comes from General Electric, he says the EPA is not able to take part in the mediation right now.
While there's an argument that I could probably participate in having conversations with non-governmental parties in the Housatonic mediation, the reality is without EPA's participation, we're pretty much dead in the water until the shutdown ends.
Progress on the cleanup of the Housatonic River already faced obstacles due to a disagreement between General Electric and the EPA over where to dispose the toxic waste. Now, a government shutdown is slowing it down even further. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Nancy Cohen.
A national nonprofit animal protection organization says that Maine ranks third in the nation for its animal protection laws. Kathleen Wood is an attorney with the Animal Legal Defense Fund and one of the authors of that report. She says one of the best things about Maine's animal protection laws is the very clear language about the level of care that has to be provided.
It's got really specific provisions about the food, water, shelter, veterinary care, even things like the sanitation of the environment that the animal lives in.
Wood says this makes it easier to determine when an animal has been neglected and when prosecution's necessary. Wood says an area in which Maine could improve is to make forfeiture of an animal mandatory after a cruelty conviction. She says right now that's left up to a judge. And finally today, a few years ago, the Maine State Society for the Protection of Animals in Windham was struggling financially. As New England's largest horse rescue, the nonprofit farm was trying to care for more horses than it could comfortably manage. Facilities were in need of an upgrade and some staff were let go. But recently, the society celebrated several milestones, including a major renovation, a budget on the rebound, and the completion of 5,000 volunteer hours by some caretakers who've become a mainstay, inmates from the women's prison across the street. Susan Sharon has more.
The 40 or so abused and neglected horses and the women who've been sentenced to the Maine Correctional Center share something in common, says Maris Bickford, the chief executive officer of the MSSPA.
Some of them are broken, yet they can recover and they can be rehabilitated and they can go on to wonderful, happy, productive lives.
This past summer, for example, Bickford says law enforcement officers in western Maine seized four horses that were in terrible condition. One required emergency medical attention. And while the state launched an investigation, the society was asked to take them in. There was nowhere else for them to go.
All four horses, when they came in, were pretty much skeletons with fur, really, really shockingly thin. These horses, I think without intervention, probably would have been dead within a fairly short time, you know, a couple of weeks.
It took the horses several months to start putting on weight and getting back in shape. But Bickford says they are lively, well-trained, and good candidates for adoption now. Dozens of volunteers help nurse them back to health, including Sarah Fushwans. She's been working at the farm for 5 months. Grooming is one of her favorite parts of the job.
So this is like a curry comb, and it kind of massages the skin and loosens all the hair and the dirt.
Fushwans is a minimum custody inmate whose sentence on drug charges won't be up for 2 more years. She says she didn't have much experience around horses when she first showed up at the barn, and initially she just wanted to escape the monotony of being in the prison across the street. But as a person in recovery, she says, taking care of these horses has been more physically and emotionally rewarding than she ever could have imagined.
It just feels so good to give back. It's something that I never really did in my spare time, and I never knew how good it felt, and it's something I definitely want to continue doing. I do know that.
I was really nervous at first, but I fell in love with the horse, and I just love coming over here every chance I get.
Like Fushwans, Carissa Buckowitz hadn't been around horses much either. And like so many other women inmates, she's also serving time for a drug-related crime. With a good time she's earned through volunteering, she'll be getting out in June. Until then, she's spending time with Tavish, an older horse she describes as calm and sweet. Their bond, she says, and the support of the other volunteers and staff has been transformative.
It made me appreciate life. I really did. Like, knowing that this place is so wonderful to give them a second chance and to give also us a second chance, it just really made me appreciate everything. Not take anything for granted. You know, everyone needs love, whether you're a horse or a person.
Warden Scott Landry says the partnership between the prison and the horse rescue has worked out so well that there are now as many as 8 women inmates volunteering several hours a day at the barn, 7 days a week. But it did take a leap of faith from the Department of Corrections and a change in prison policy.
Traditionally, minimum custody women are not permitted to work without a correctional employee directly supervising them. In the policy, we made it an exception, so the minimum custody women are able to come here and work without our staff necessarily supervising.
Maris Bickford says the MSSPA wouldn't be operating at its current level without the inmates' assistance. And as far as the women are concerned, there's no better way to spend their time. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.